everyone, and welcome back to the Killer Crime Podcast. My name is Martha.
And I'm Georgia.
And today we're going to be discussing a case that blows my mind. So this 16-year-old goes to school, leaves school, goes back to school, leaves school again, and then vanishes. So where is Michaela Bali? So Michaela Bali was an incredibly friendly and easygoing, quiet young girl. She was described by her friends as being a very good listener, and she lived in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and attended Sacred Heart High School. So this was a Catholic school, not that that really matters, but thought I'd just throw it in there. So in grade 9, Michaela became really good friends with a girl named Shelby. In an interview, Shelby says that Michaela just came up to her and asked her if she wanted to sit with her friends. And from there, they just became best friends. So that's the kind of girl that Michaela was. She seemed to just be very giving and loving. Now, Michaela loved music, and Shelby and her would sit by the smoke pit. Now, Georgia, I don't know if your school had, like, a smoke pit in it.
Absolutely not. What?
Yeah, mine did. It was just called The Pit, and it's just where all, like, the smokers went to just sit and hang out, but not necessarily, like, everybody smoked. So that was, like, Michaela and her friend Shelby. They didn't smoke, but they just hung out there. All right. Or they didn't smoke that, like, anyone knows of. Maybe they did, but who knows. But she also played the violin, and she loved fantasy video games. And she also had a passion for photography and taking pictures of wildlife. And I read somewhere that she was being accepted into, like, National Geographic or some sort of news thing wow. for her pictures. Yeah, it was crazy. Probably wasn't National Geographic, but it was something crazy. But she also loved Man Tracker.
Wait, what's Man Tracker?
So, Man Tracker is basically a show where two men on horses, it's so Canadian, two men on horses track down two people on foot. So, the people on foot sign up for the show, and their goal is to get to a specific destination without getting found by the trackers on horse. So, it's all done in the wild, and yeah, the people on horses, they just ride around trying to find these two people before they reach their destination.
Oh, right, okay. We have a show like that here. It's called Hunted. They don't use horses. They're a bit more, like, high-end, but it's really good.
Right, that's awesome. So on April 11th, 2016, the day before Michaela went missing, her and her friends, including Shelby, went for lunch at a fast food restaurant. So her friends recalled Michaela saying that she wanted to go to Moose Jaw, Prince Albert, or Saskatoon. And these are all places in Saskatchewan.
Oh my god, those names are all so aggressively Canadian.
I know, like, all the stereotypes about Canada are so true. Like, we can't deny it. We are just, it's so ridiculous. I know, me too. It's hilarious. So her friends mentioned things that Michaela had told them, including how Michaela was planning on leaving town to go on a vacation. And apparently she had mentioned that some guy named Christopher was coming out to meet her. They also mentioned how she wanted to move to a bigger city like Saskatoon because there was way more, like, fun stuff to do there. So Michaela often talked about leaving Yorkton and going somewhere else. She seemed to be quite the dreamer. To somebody who wanted to travel, which I think is awesome. So after this lunch at this fast food restaurant, the girls went back to their class. So after Michaela's disappearance, her teacher would speak to police and tell them that Michaela seemed upset about something. Her teacher didn't go into much more detail about this, but she could tell that something was visibly wrong with Michaela. But her friends didn't say she was upset about anything. It was just her teacher. So this is where things start to get a little jam-packed. She does a lot leading up to her disappearance that makes this case so strange. And it's almost like the Emma Filipov case, where the disappearance, yes, is weird, but it's the days leading up to it that make it so, like, mind-blowing. So at 4:35 p.m. after school, Michaela texted her friend to ask her if she would give her a ride to the bank the next day. So she said this was really important. about an hour after this, I'm not sure if this friend replied, but either way, about an hour after this, Michaela called the TD Bank, which is a Canadian bank, obviously, 3 times, and she transferred $25. So that's all I got about that transfer. I don't know where she transferred it to or who she was transferring it to, but the bank teller just said that's what she did. So a few hours after this, she would text two of her friends and even an ex-boyfriend. The police were able to find out that Michaela had texted her friend to ask for help. She then texted her other friend about a random boy and how she felt bad for somebody. Again, like, they didn't go into too much detail as to what exactly she was talking about, but they just gave us a brief of what she was saying. So that was it. But the most important text was to her ex-boyfriend. She wrote that she was unhappy and wanted to go to Regina for a couple of days. So Regina is about 188 kilometers from Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and by car, this is about a 2-hour drive, so it's not that far. So the following day, on April 12th, 2016, at 6:41 a.m., one of Michaela's friends receives a text from her asking her to take her to the bank. So I'm pretty sure this is the same friend that she texted the day before, but the bank didn't open till 9 a.m., so that plan was obviously a no-go. So apparently Michaela had been telling people that she had around $5,000 in her bank account, but that wasn't true at all, and nobody knows why she would say this. So I wanted to mention this because I feel like Michaela, as any 16-year-old would do, sort of fabricated a lot of things and embellished a lot of her life, which made it difficult for her friends to decide what was true and what wasn't true. So that's kind of important for the days, like, or for the this day. So at 8:10 a.m., Michaela's grandma drops her off at school, as usual, and her family stated in an interview that they thought she was perfectly fine that morning. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. She said bye to her aunt, and that was it. At 8:21 a.m., Michaela went to her locker and put a binder inside. Now, there was nothing significant about this binder at all, but she closes her locker, and instead of going to class, she walked right out the school through the back entrance. So it turns out she was making her way to the TD Bank, where she had wanted to go earlier that morning. So she arrives at this bank around 8:51 a.m. and waited outside until they opened. Now, the strange part about this is while she was waiting, she was talking on the phone to somebody, but the phone company she was with found no record of a phone call. So they think that maybe she was calling through like a social media app or WhatsApp. I don't really know, but I don't think they could, like, they just couldn't find anything. So the police had to wait 10 entire months to access her social media accounts. Now, I couldn't find any updates on these social media accounts. I assume they didn't find much. But the fact that they had to wait 10 entire months is ridiculous to me. I wanted to mention this here for everybody. So credits to Crime Junkie, but they always talk about having a if I go missing file. So it's a file where you write down like your usernames, your passwords, and even your information to your bank account, and you hide it somewhere really secure and just tell one other person, like your mom, your dad, your sibling, somebody that you trust with your life. So if you happen to go missing, you don't have to wait for any of your information to be, for the police to be able to get any of your information. This can be like super crucial for anything. Like if you've been talking to somebody online and it turned out they were dangerous and they did something to you and it took months for the police to be able to find that out, you know, it sets back their investigation, which is something you don't want to happen if you go missing. So the bank opens at around 8:55 a.m. and Michaela goes in and she takes out $55. She then heads to a pawn shop and she spoke to the owner about, I think it was either a ring or a bracelet that she'd wanted to sell him. Now, unfortunately, it was made of silver, which doesn't have a high value, so he wasn't interested in buying it. And he claimed that she didn't seem worried or distressed. She just seemed quiet and simply turned around and walked out the door and headed south. So she was actually heading towards a Tim Hortons cafe and Wendy's. Now she goes inside this Tim Hortons, buys a hot drink with the cash that she took out. She sits in the Tim Hortons with her drink, and she stays there for 13 minutes, casually checking over her shoulder every once in a while.
Oh, so almost like she was waiting for someone.
Exactly. It seemed like this entire day, she was, like, planning to meet somebody. So nobody can know this for sure, but it appears at some point she was taking apart her phone. She had her phone up, like, close to her face, and she was sort of taking it apart. Now, this makes me wonder if she was taking out her what is it called again? Like a SIM card? Not a SIM card. It's like a little SIM chip card that you put in. Yeah. If she was, she'd been, like, switching out her SIM card. Was she with, like, another company or something like that? And that's why they couldn't track her calls on one of the SIM cards? Like, I was wondering if that's what she was doing, but it just really seemed like she was, like, full-on taking apart her phone.
That would make sense if they couldn't find out, you know, her phone records and stuff. If she'd gotten a little, like, pay-as-you-go SIM card and swapped that out.
Yeah, because the pay-as-you-go, like, when I went to England, right? I don't know if you remember this, but I went to get, like, last summer, my prepaid card, and I didn't have to give over my name. I didn't have to give over any information. I just had to pay the £10, and they gave it to me, and that was it. So
that's why something. Drug dealers have those sorts of pay-as-you-go plans, because you can't track them.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe she was switching out like a prepaid thing. Honestly, who knows? But she was sitting there for a while, like fidgeting with this phone. Now, something important to note is she had been carrying a stuffed backpack, like stuffed to the brim kind of backpack, since she left school. And her friend said that she only ever took a purse to school, so they couldn't explain why she would just, of all days, switch to a backpack. I think that this was filled with, clearly she was trying to get out of, she was waiting for somebody and she'd been talking about traveling. And there's more to the story, but she was trying to get out of Yorkton that day. So I think her backpack was stuffed with, like, clothes and stuff. So we're now at 9:23 a.m. and Michaela grabs her backpack and walks out the front exit of the Tim Hortons. However, she then walks back through the Tim Hortons and goes out another exit, like the opposite side of the cafe. And she's then seen walking north. And the surveillance camera at a home hardware store captures her walking past and out of view. So about 20 minutes later, at 9:42 a.m., Michaela comes back into view of this home hardware surveillance camera, and she can be seen emerging from behind a giant tiger store. She then heads back towards the same Tim Hortons, goes back inside, and sits down at 9:49 a.m. She is seen talking on her phone once again, but no records were shown. So she doesn't seem stressed or worried. She just calmly sits in this Tim Hortons on her phone. So she's sort of, like, throughout the surveillance, you can see her texting and then calling and then texting and then looking out the window and then texting. Like, she's obviously waiting for somebody.
Wait, how long is she waiting there for this time?
So from the time that she sits down to the time that she leaves the Tim Hortons, I'll explain more about, like, what she does, but it's 2 hours that she's been sitting at this booth. So she sits at a different booth than she did last time, and like I said, she was looking at her phone and then up and then out the window, and then she stands up and grabs her backpack and walks either out the Tim Hortons or to the bathroom. I'm not 100% sure, but the camera catches her walking out of view, and then she walks back into view and sits down still on her phone. Now, at some point when she's sitting in this booth and waiting, she sends a text to her friend saying, "Hey, I need help." So during the next 30 minutes after sending this text, she sends another text saying, "Never mind, I figured it out." So what she does next is actually really strange, but I think it's what she was texting her friend about. So at 10:43 a.m., Michaela then does something really strange. She goes up to a woman and asks her for help. So Michaela sits down in front of her and asks for help renting a hotel room. So the woman explained that she really wasn't sure if she needed somebody who was old enough to book the room or she just needed money. But the woman says no. Like, she just says no. So this really frustrates me because I was sitting in a Tim Hortons and a young girl, and Michaela looks young, sits down in front of me during a school day and asks me for help booking a hotel room. I would definitely keep her sitting in front of me, hold a conversation, try to figure out what's wrong, or call the cops. I wouldn't just let her walk off. So I found
exactly.
That,
that's so right? odd. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What adult wouldn't immediately think, oh, this girl clearly needs help?
Exactly.
Like, she should be in school.
Exactly. And, like, trying to book a hotel room? Like, oh, it's...
Yeah.
I just find that really frustrating because if... I guess everything is clearer in hindsight, but... Maybe if she just sort of figured out more of what Michaela was trying to do, this whole situation could have been prevented. Now, I'm not saying, like, it's this lady's fault, but I'm just saying, you know, anybody out there, if a girl sits in front of you during a school day and asks for help booking a hotel room, please don't just let her walk off, is what I'm saying. So at 11:35 a.m., Michaela was on footage leaving the Tim Hortons and heads back to her school. So while she's walking back to the school, she texts her friend saying, I'll see you at lunch. Now at 11:59 a.m., Michaela had made it back to her high school and she met up, like she walks in through the front doors and meets up with two of her friends. And she goes up to them and tells them she's taking a bus for a vacation to Regina. Now, this isn't confirmed, but one of the girls said Michaela might have had two phones with her. Like I said, that's not confirmed, but because we couldn't see it on video footage, but I just found it kind of interesting that they said she had two phones, and that would explain, yeah. again, why cell phone records weren't picking up her phone calls. So Michaela then walks back towards the school front doors, walks out at 12:02 p.m., and this was the last time she was ever seen on camera. So 3:40 rolls around, and of course, Michaela's grandma is waiting in the parking lot for her, and Michaela had a violin rehearsal that day at 4 p.m., and when she missed it, her grandma was like, okay, oh my god. So she goes back, tells her family, and her family went to the school, they were looking around, they were panicking, and they reported Michaela missing just before 8 p.m. that night. Now, a few witnesses did come forward saying they saw her at, like, a bus stop. So it was, like, not just, like, a little bus stop on the street, like a bus depot. And an employee there remembered seeing Michaela between 10 a.m. and noon. So I don't know how that would have worked considering the timeline. I wish I knew Yorkton a lot better to know where she was walking around, but... apparently she had been trying to buy a ticket out of Yorkton, but when she found out the next bus to leave was at 5 p.m., she decided not to get a ticket, and she went over to a diner that was connected to this bus depot. So the waitress at the diner described Michaela. She just said she came in, sat down, and ordered a poutine. She said Michaela looked perfectly normal and didn't notice whether or not she was still using her phone. So of course tips came through involving drugs, trafficking, and lots of sightings of Michaela, including one in Scotland. But of course, none of them would go anywhere. So all these guys that Michaela were supposedly talking to were questioned and ruled out. Her friends mentioned that Michaela spoke to lots of boys online, and one of the apps that was brought up over and over that Michaela possibly could have used was a Keek app. So Georgia, I don't know if you've ever used Keek or like know what that is, but it's just a very anonymous app where you can talk to people without them knowing who you are. And I don't I don't really know if there's like a way that you can track. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I wish I had an update on the social media. Like, if they were able to get her social media, because she might have been able to get that. But also, Michaela's friend had sent her a Snapchat on the day that she went missing, and it was opened months later, which gave everybody a little bit of hope.
All right, but old Snapchats do expire, because I didn't go on my Snapchat account for like the whole of 2017, and when I went on it again, some of my friends had sent me Snapchats, and they'd like, I could see that they'd been opened, but it's not like I'd gone onto my account and opened them. I think they just sort of expire eventually, so I don't know if that actually means right. that she was on her account, maybe. Or if it was just because yeah. it had been a few months, the Snapchat just showed as open.
Right. Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That would definitely explain that situation.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's the story of Michaela Bali, a 16-year-old who vanishes into thin air. This case blows my mind because I don't understand how she can literally be caught on surveillance camera all day, and then when she leaves the school, just nothing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's so weird. It's not like she was walking out in the open literally all day with a bright blue scarf on. She wasn't exactly, you know, hiding. I just don't understand where she is. And
no, she clearly had a plan. Nobody does. Like, walking around with her backpack stuff full, like, on the phone the whole time. She's clearly conspiring with someone to get away.
Yeah, definitely. I think whoever she was talking to, knows about missing people and the way that police investigate. So I think they were probably walking her through what to do. Mm. Just in terms of like the phone thing, like where they were talking. And it's just interesting how she never really mentioned that Christopher guy, and they did speak to him. But he said he wasn't even in Yorkton that day, and I'm pretty sure he had an alibi. So I don't know if she was speaking to somebody else and he said, don't tell anybody about me. And maybe they were in a relationship, and because clearly she liked to talk to boys. Not that that's a bad thing, but she was just unfortunately doing it in a pretty unsafe way. So there must have been somebody, like another guy that she was speaking to or sort of in a relationship with. That told her, like, don't tell anybody about me. I'll take you to Regina, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But yeah, it's just, this it's is just why suspicious. You tell people.
Yeah, very scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is why you tell people who you're talking to online. Like, don't
yeah,
just
you think
hide
if,
things.
If they're telling you that you can't tell anyone about, like, your relationship or whatever, that is the biggest red flag ever.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. Definitely, especially when you're talking to them like privately online. It just blows my mind. So I just wanted to mention that Alicia Bridges and Victoria Dinn did an amazing job covering this case. This is where I got a lot of the timeline from, so I just wanted to give them some good credit. But I highly recommend everybody to go and read their article on CBC News. So that is the story of Michaela Bali. She is still missing to this day, and if anyone has any information on her, please contact Crime Stoppers. They accept tips anonymously. So thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed today's case. Not that you can enjoy a case about a girl who leaves school and vanishes, but remember to be loud, be fierce, and don't talk to killers. Bye, guys.